Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, magic makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show. Hey, magic makers, it's this week's iTunes review. Amy W. Fitness says, Kim knows her stuff, keeps it real on all levels, 5 stars. Awesome podcast series on relatable topics that women deal with. Kim's advice, along with her sense of humor, is what everyone needs to find their fit girl magic. Well, thank you so much, Amy W. Fitness. That warms my heart. If you haven't yet left your review, please head over to iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast and hit rate, and then hopefully it's a 5-star hint, and leave me a review. Thanks. Hey, magic makers. Today I spoke with Deanna Schober, and I've wanted this conversation for a really long time. She is someone who I think is at the tip of something really great. Today we talked all about self-care for primarily mommies, but I think all women fall into this category. We, you know, really broke down how we get all caught up in, you know, being the best, getting the, you know, the merit badge of mothering, you know, not really giving ourselves grace for things that might be a little bit out of our comfort zone, a little bit out of our expertise. We talked about, you know, self-care is more than just getting a manicure or a massage or, you know, a day at the spa. You know, self-care, things that you can do every single day. And let me tell you, it's more than that. It's really about leaning into how you want to feel, how you want to show up as a mother. That self-care and just giving yourself, you know, the benefit of the doubt that when shit hits the fan and you're just not feeling the mommy vibes, lean into it because it will pass. Have a listen to this conversation. It's very eye-opening. And if you're that mommy who just feels sometimes that, you know, you're not crushing it, this episode is for you. And by the way, you are crushing it. As always, if you love this podcast, do me a favor. If there's a mommy out there who needs to hear this conversation, screenshot it and share it with her. Make sure you tag me on the socials. I love that stuff. I just want to make sure I'm bringing you the best information I can to make life as awesome as it possibly can be. Enjoy today's show. Hey, magic makers, I am really excited to bring you this conversation today. My conversation today was with Deanna Schober, and I've met her a few months ago, and what I really like about her is that she's all about the mommies. And I know I got a lot of mommies who are listening to, but she's starting a revolution, if you will, on how can you take better care of yourself as a mommy. We all hear, you know, self-care Sunday. And, you know, I know personally, I roll my eyes because so many people think self-care is all about getting your manicure or your pedicure and all those things. But the conversation that I've had with Deanna is that it's not about that. It's so much more. And guess what? You could do it every day and it doesn't cost you a damn cent. All right, Deanna, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Kim. I'm so excited to be here. What an introduction. I love that.
Well, that was, you know, you and I met at a mastermind. We're in a mastermind together. Yeah. And when we all had to sit around and say, you know, what we do. And when you said that, I was like, girlfriend, whoop, whoop.
Yeah. Like, yes.
I mean, because you have 4 kids. So you're like,
I do.
You know what it's like to need to like tap out.
Yeah, I'm in the trenches and I definitely am, you know, right there with you where I'm kind of people talking about like, you know, getting manis and pedis and that being self-care. I'm like, that's just scratching the surface. You know, that's like, it could be self-care. You know, that might be something at one point in your life, but when you're trying to manage four kids for, and I've been doing this now for 21 years, my oldest is 21, my youngest is 6, and I've got 2 in between. And you have to broaden your definition of what self-care really is. And many times it is not going to be a mani and pedi. And as a matter of fact, sometimes that's like the worst thing that you could do is to like, you know, go get a mani pedi when really what you actually need is something else. So, but it's become my passion because I spent the first 10 years of my oldest kids' lives really just kind of drowning and suffering through it. And a mani pedi didn't fix a damn thing. Like you said, it didn't fix anything. But I figured out that it was more about the way that I thought about things and the way I prioritized things.
And I love exactly what you just said there. So let's unpack that first.
Okay.
I think, you know, when we get pregnant, we read all the mommy blogs and we read all the books and we think that motherhood should be hard. Motherhood should be self-sacrifice and you should suffer.
Yes. I mean, yes, you just hit the nail on the head. And like, I really don't even think that a lot of us realize that we've been indoctrinated into that, that feeling and that, you know, expectation, but I don't know where that came from. I think that it's kind of, you know, I think that if you look at like the generations and how they mothered our parents, you know, I'm Generation X and our parents were very hands-off.
Yes.
Almost to the point of neglect, you know, we're known as like the latchkey kid generation. And it was, you know, too far in that direction where they just didn't care at all. You know, I mean, I'm sure they cared, but it was nothing like it is now. And I feel like what happened is we went too far in the other direction where now not only are we there for our kids, but we are everything to our kids. And that's what a good mom is, you know. And which is crazy. And because we can't be everything for them, but we're trying to become their spiritual lifeline, their best friend. We have to entertain them at all hours of the day. And there's so much guilt if we are not able to live up to that. So many of us are experiencing guilt all the time. And this is why, it's because the expectations we've given ourselves that we have, you know, adopted are unreasonable. They're humanly not possible for one person to be able to do all these things and be all these things for our kids. And so I think that what we're seeing is a swing in that opposite direction. And I'm hoping to be kind of one of the voices, you know, you mentioned that I want to start a revolution and that is exactly what I want to do is to bring us to the middle. You know, we need to get back to, we can be close with our kids and we can have great relationships with them. I have amazing relationships especially with my older children. But I am trying to not be everything for them. And I'm trying to teach them how to be, you know, emotionally resilient and emotionally independent. And, you know, all I learned from doing everything for my children, the only thing that I taught them was that when they grew up, mom was going to do everything for them. And I found that out real quick.
Oh.
And so, yeah, I'm having to undo all of what I did when they were little kids and teach them how to do things on their own and how to be independent. And I think that, you know, we're seeing the results of that just as a generation of this generation of kids is kind of helpless and struggling with independence.
Yeah, it's funny you said that because one of my earlier episodes, I did an Empty Nest podcast, and she talked explicitly about how, you know, now kids go to college and they don't know how to grocery shop or do laundry or how to just do, you know, basic life shit.
Yeah.
Because as a mom, you're like, and I think, and you kind of hit the nail on the head, I'm a Gen Xer too. And I think it was because, you know, both my parents worked. And so as soon as I could see over the dishwasher, I was loading it. As soon as I could see over the laundry, wash machine, I was throwing clothes in. So it's like, I grew up always having to participate in household chores. And I think, like you said, like there's this lost generation of like, probably there was some resentment maybe we had of like,
I think so,
being like indentured servants. And so yeah, we're like, no, my kid should never unload the dishwasher. And God forbid they learn how to wash their underwear.
Right. We overcompensated in the opposite direction. And you know, there, I do think that there needed to be some course correction. We did need to be closer with our children, just emotionally,
right,
than our parents were. And I think that that's what we experienced, that emotional disconnect. But in our minds, we were like, it's because I had to do everything. You know, we made a false association. And so now we're overcorrecting in the wrong direction. And what we really need is to have good emotional relationships with our kids, while also fostering independence in them, and lowering our expectations. I mean, really, the majority of what I do is help moms through like mom guilt. And
yes,
a lot of that is just like bringing the bar down to a reasonable level, because we have it's set so high. This is also, you know, this happens to also be the age of social media, where this generation of moms is parenting, you know, especially my oldest is 21, and really I got like my first iPhone when he was around 8 years old. And it was like, you know, I was exposed to all these other parents and all these other opinions, yes, and all these like blogs about parenting and opinions that I never had been exposed to before. And it's just so judgmental. You know, there's so much out there. So on top of us swinging in that opposite direction, it's also plastered all over social media and blogs and Facebook and, you know, everywhere you see it, you're seeing everyone's highlight reel. Lots of like screen time is going to be the worst thing you can do for your kids, and just all so much information, and we don't know what to do with it. And so we're just internalizing it over and over. And now we're like, these moms that I talk to on a daily basis are so burnt out. They are so tired. They're shells of a human being. And by the time they get to me, that's how they feel. They don't even know who they are. They don't know who they are as a person anymore.
Right. So, you know, here I am, you know, I'm mommy, and I'm like, girl, I am burnt right the fuck out. Like, where do I start? Like, you know, like, I'm burnt that you should see the smoke coming off of me. So
exactly.
You know, where does someone start that they, you know, when they've gotten to that point?
Yeah. Like the first thing that I do with my clients is just, we declare like, I am worth it. And I am not going to be, I'm not going to settle for less than I deserve right now. I'm not going to I always ask them some of them are just not ready to go there and just be like, I'm worth it. Like that goes against everything that they've been taught. And they've been taught that motherhood is self-sacrifice and that we do everything for our kids first. And so I usually need to show them, a wider angle of what that is. And I ask them, would you want your child to feel this way, the way that you feel now? Do you want them to model you and grow up and feel the way you're feeling now? Can you imagine that? And that's usually enough for them to be like, whoa, no, like no way. And to have those expectations, we wouldn't want this for them. And yet we do it for them because we've been told that this is love. But I want them to understand, I want them to come to a new understanding of what love is. And that is to take care of their caretaker and to model to them what it looks like to be a whole healthy human being. I also have myself, as an example of like, I spent the first 10 years of motherhood burnt into the ground, giving getting the leftovers or waiting for the leftovers for me and having nothing to give. And always feeling resentful. My kids are adult, or my oldest is an adult now, and the two younger ones will talk about it and we'll laugh and we'll be like, remember when we were little and mom was always tired and angry? You know, they know, they can see the difference and they can vocalize that to me now. And they'll say, you know, you were always so tired, you never wanted to play, you're so different now. And they can verbalize that because they're older and they have that perspective. So I'll tell my clients that, like, you know, I'll be your living example. This is what they're going to be saying to you if you don't start practicing self-care. Become, you know, allow yourself to be a whole human being and have your needs met In the same way that you would never neglect your kids the way that you're neglecting yourself. So you've got to model that for them.
Yeah, I love that. Cause it's like, first, it's that person, that mom who's self-aware that she is just like on the edge.
Yeah.
But what happens to those people who are probably listening right now that they're like, am I giving too much? You know,
yeah.
Is there, you know, that line between being a good parent and being, you know, that, you know, being the Pinterest parent
and
being like the Pinterest fail parent?
Yeah. Well, it's all in how it feels, right? So we're energy and everything that we do is energy. And so if being the Pinterest parent is energizing you and making you feel good, then you're probably fine. And that's good for you. Like you want to go with that if that makes you feel good. If being the Pinterest parent or even striving for that or even thinking about that is making you feel exhausted and resentful and burnt out, you know, that's your sign. Like we don't need, I have four kids. My youngest has special needs. He's autistic. I am also a business owner. My husband also owns a business. We have a podcast together. Like I am spread thin, right? But I feel good most of the time. I don't feel resentful. I feel like my needs are being met. I am tired, of course. Like, and yes, I still get exhausted and I still get overwhelmed a lot of the time. But most of the time, generally speaking, I don't feel resentful of anything. I feel like my needs are being met and like there's nothing that I'm not getting. So I would be looking for, am I feeling resentful? What just energetically, what does this feel like to me? Is it uplifting me? Do I feel more empowered? Does this feel good? Or is it making me feel burned out? And, you know, resentment, I think, is the big one that you're looking for, and anger and those kinds of feelings.
And it's funny that you say that. So, you know, I've at the time of this recording, you know, we're kind of in self-quarantine.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we're all talking to each other, you know, I think we're talking to people that we haven't talked to in years way more. And a lot of the mommies that I've been talking to, it's like the resentment that they may have been feeling is now bubbling up,
where you
are able to, I think, bypass it because maybe your kids were at school 5 hours out of the day and then they went to some activity or they had play dates or whatever. Now it's 24/7.
Exactly.
Every feeling that you've ever felt is just like coming to a head.
Yeah. I mean, that's what just happened is everything that we were already feeling just got brought right smack into the spotlight. Like whether you might have been avoiding it before, but now there's just no getting away from it. And I'm experiencing that because I talk to women every day that I haven't worked with, and maybe they just follow me and they are like, you know, everything that they were feeling before is eating them up right now. It's burning them, you know, to the ground. And then I have my clients who I have worked with who are saying, thank God. I mean, every single client that I have talked to is like, thank God that we did this work together because I feel okay. Like I might be struggling a little bit, but it's nothing that's unmanageable in the way that it would have been before we shifted priorities and before we started working together. So it's bringing all those things right into the spotlight where you cannot look away from them, which is why, you know, it can be an opportunity to make some changes right now, or it could be, you know, just bring up that you have been making the right choices and just reaffirm that for you, which I kind of love.
Yeah. I get that. Cause it's like, you know, I've also had friends who've, you know, kids are now grown and some of them have come back to the nest and, you know, 25 years of that resentment still is bubbling in there. And so,
that's funny. I can picture it. Picture it with my oldest. Yeah.
Because like you said, for your oldest, you're like, you know, if he said jump, you said how high.
Yes, and then here they come.
Right. And so now if he moves, you know, comes back to the nest full time, your middle kids are like, hey, this is the new world order. And he's like, what do you mean mom just doesn't cook, you know, like a restaurant all the time?
Yes,
and what do you
exactly.
mean you do your own laundry? Like it's a kind of a rude awakening. But I feel like like you said, you know, I identify with the moms who, you know, walk that line of like, yeah, I give a shit about you, but I can't be the shit for you.
Right. I know. That's been a hard transition for me too. I started off as, you know, one way and have really kind of evolved into this new place. And that's been hard, I think, for my son, because I've had to, he's the oldest, because he's the one that's really seen it happen, where the youngest ones just kind of went with the changes. And so explaining my boundaries to him, and that I'm not going to drop things, you know, at the drop of a hat and do things for him right now has been interesting. But that's definitely, I'm seeing that. That's definitely happening.
So, you know, we, at the top of the show, we talked about, you know, self-care really isn't about, you know, manicures, pedicures, and that sort of thing. And, you know, you brought it full circle. It's about caring for you, you know, managing your emotions. So, you know, what are some things that, and, you know, I also think it's not reserved for like Sunday.
minute of the day.
Yeah. So like, what are some things that some people wouldn't even consider to be self-care that could be like the thing you need to, like, you know, rejuvenate?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just the answer to what I tell my clients is the answer to the question, what do I need? What is, you know, we can look at our kids and be like, they need to brush their teeth. They need to sleep. They need to eat. They need emotional self-regulation. You know, like, it's easy to look at them and know exactly what they're needing for the most part. And it's not any different for us. We just have gotten out of the habit of being in touch with what that is. And so, you know, my example that I give is kind of a random act of self-care that I did for myself last year was I went to go get a mammogram. Like, I had been putting it off and it was time, and I needed to go get a mammogram. And so just emotionally, that puts my mind at ease. I'm taking care of myself and making sure I'm staying healthy. You know, sometimes, like today, I just gave you the example before we jumped on, I like had to go sit in my shower and cry because it had just been a horrible day of home, you know, self-quarantine. We're homeschooling right now. And it didn't work. Nobody learned anything. Everybody was frustrated and it was just exhausting. And I ended up giving up. So I needed to cry and I needed to release those tears. And as soon as I did, I felt better and felt like I could try again tomorrow. So it's random, but it's always going to be different. It's always going to be the answer to the question, what do I need right now? And just being kind of investigative about what that could be. And there's a lot of trial and error. Sometimes I'll try something and see if it makes me feel better. And, or if this is what I need and I'm like, nope, that wasn't it. And then not, you know, and then moving on to something else without beating myself up too. And I think that overall self-care is just, it's a way of thinking, which is why I tell my moms, they say, I don't have time for self-care. And I tell them that like, 90% of what you're going to be doing is in your head and it's not going to take any time. It's just a perspective shift. And the way that you talk to yourself and the way that you treat yourself. So instead of beating yourself up and holding yourself to ridiculous expectations, it's, you know, today my self-talk was, I'm not a teacher and I'm definitely not a special ed teacher. There's no reason for me to be good at this. Mm. So, you know, it's okay. And just the things I'm saying to myself instead of, oh, I'm never going to get this. Why can't I get this? It, you know, that's the old me. And, a self-care mindset and a self-care state of mind is being gracious with myself and being self-compassionate, respecting myself, respecting my body, especially, and, just, you know, having the same regard for me that I would want my kids to have for themselves.
And it's funny that the one thing I loved all of that. And the big thing right there is grace.
Yes. Because and that's huge right now.
It's huge right now because I feel like so many of us, you know, you talked about like right now, you know, you're kind of forced to homeschool kids. Well, you didn't sign up to be a teacher. Like, no, that was
not, did not.
You know, it's like, yeah, we all have our, like, you know, second life, their second acts or whatever you want to call it. You never desired to be a teacher. Now you're being
not at all.
Now you're being called to be a teacher. And so many of us, we want to be the best. Like, we can't be okay. We can't be mediocre. And I think that translates into, you know, mommyhood. Like, you know, if you see, like you said earlier, it's like, before it was like you saw the person across the street as a mom or the person in your mom group. And that was really the number of moms you really kind of associated with. Now I could see millions of moms and I could see, you know, mom got that particular stroller and mom got that particular, you know, play thing or, oh, play pens are horrible for kids. And those bouncy things, they'll kill your kid. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy. And you're like, you know what? That bouncy kid saves my sanity.
Exactly. Yeah.
And until
or the screen. You're right. Screens is the big thing for me right now. Like I'm throwing my kid in front of a screen. I don't care. Like I don't give a damn. Okay? He's watching a screen. It's if it's between my sanity and a screen, he's watching a screen.
Right. And it's like, you know, like we talked about earlier being latchkey kids. I was like, I sat in front of a screen for a long time. I'm like, I still
and we're fine.
Right. I still went to college and I still learned how to spell.
So. Yeah. Like we're totally fine. I know. There's so much guilt and there's so much parent shaming out there. Like it's really a problem. And it's something that I've kind of tried to put myself in a bubble to get away from it, but there is so much parent shaming out there. And so, and we internalize it, we see it and we internalize it, whether we know it or not. And we become afraid that we're going to get found out as like a bad parent. And I even realized this, you know, before quarantine, we had the opportunity to go to a hotel, like in the middle of the month. I already have a mother-in-law who takes my children once a month, and will keep my youngest son for the weekend while my big kids are at their dad's. And so we get once a month to like be free and do whatever we want to do. And I already feel like I was like, that's okay. But middle of the month hotel room doing that too, like, no, you know, and I said it out loud to my group program. I was telling them how I was feeling about it. And they were like, are you hearing yourself? It's okay. Like you can go, it's okay to not, to go away to a hotel for a couple of days in the middle of the month, one time. If it's going to make you feel better, there is no law of motherhood that this is the right way to do it. You know, but in my head, I was telling myself, oh no, I'm having too much fun for a mom, you know, that's crazy. So, I think that we have these, like, we've internalized these rules from society and we don't even know that they're there sometimes. And then we feel this shame over, I don't want anyone to find out that I'm not a good parent, because that is, especially for moms. I mean, I don't see this happening as much with dads, but especially for moms, this is like the worst thing you could do. It's like the cardinal sin of women is to be a bad mom.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and I just see it just to think the way my husband is able to just disconnect from everything, you know, like the phone's ringing and he's eating dinner and he just declines the call. He's like, I'm eating dinner.
Wow.
Where you would be, you know, where us women, we would be like, I would feel compelled to pick up the phone, compelled to be like, hey, Linda, I'm eating. I'll call you back.
Yes, I know. You got to explain yourself constantly. Yeah.
Where he was just like, declined. Like, and it was his best friend and declined it like it was a telemarketer.
That's amazing. I'm impressed.
He does. You know, now that we're trapped at home, I see a lot more. So I was like, I go, so I'm on that. If I'm busy, you decline list. And he's like, yeah. He's like, what am I working on right now?
And wow.
And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, you know what? So that taught me something that like, you know what? Like if a friend calls and I was about to eat, do I need to tell her the 30-second spiel that I'm eating? I'll call her back.
I know we need to like, it's this weird thing that we have as women to like explain ourselves and we should be nice and we should be giving and, have no boundaries. And I mean, it's just this weird like avatar that's been for all women in this society that we've all internalized and we don't even realize it. I'm like really into lately, examining the avatar that I've created for myself and, examining the programming that I'm always thinking, where did I learn to believe that this was true? And just constantly asking myself that question, and examining my programming. And that's an interesting one for women. We're very, we've really been programmed that we need to be everything for everyone.
And I love that because you're right. Like, you know, I was having a conversation with a friend and she asked me a question and I was like, I've never thought about, like, she's like, well, what was the relationship with your, you know, your family? And I never really thought about, like, what was the relationship other than we have a relationship.
Right. You know,
when we were growing up, and I never really like went back to my childhood to unpack that. And if you think about your middle kids are like, oh, remember when mom did this? And it was like, huh, I never stopped to remember those little like childhood, like, you know, formative year memories.
Yeah. Yeah. They're already, my kids are already processing them. I'm like, great. Just cut me some slack when you're starting to remember. But yeah, you pick up all these things and the way that you relate within your family, and then you take it. It's your operating system for like the rest of your life until you realize it and, you know, either overcome it or embrace it. So.
Yeah. But I like how, you know, you've given like really simple things. It's like, it's really tuning into our feelings versus bypassing. Like you, it's okay to be mad at your kids.
Yes, it is. Believe me, it is. And it's okay for them to be mad at you. That's the hardest thing that I still struggle with to this day, is right, let my kids be mad at me. But yeah.
Well, you know, I, like, my mom is like the old school hard knocks, and she's like, I'm not your friend. Like,
yes.
I'm going to say stuff that's going to make you upset.
Yes,
and
I know.
And then she would flip it around. She's like, and guess what? You say stuff to me that make me upset. So it's like, it's a give and a take. And then that was like always like my biggest takeaway from my childhood. My mom would always be like, it's a give and a take.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And,
that's a good point.
She's a mommy blogger that I can't think of her name right now. But she's like, she posted a video. She's like, 3 of my 4 kids are mad at me right now. She's like, you know what? I don't care.
I feel like I've seen it.
Yeah. And when I saw that, I was like, that's old school parody.
Yes.
Like you shouldn't, like, you care, but you shouldn't care that much.
Yeah.
That, especially when it was like, you shouldn't play with fire. Yeah. They're going to be mad at you. But,
and exactly. And it almost always comes back to like the you're trying to heal the relationship that you had with your parent in some kind of random way, some kind of like backwards way. I definitely feel that way with my girls. Like, I had a good relationship with my mom, but it was also very strained and lots of arguing and fighting. And so anytime I have a really hard time with them being mad at me. So, but I have to kind of just get uncomfortable with it and know that it's going to be for their greater good and that they need to learn this. And I try to always speak to them with respect. And that's just kind of been the big thing, is I'm, instead of talking at them, I'm really trying to have conversations with them and get them involved in, the thinking process that I'm going through. Like, you know, how do you think this would turn out? How would you feel if this was your daughter? Those kinds of conversations instead of what was kind of done to me. And like, no parent goes into parenthood thinking that, knowing that they're doing it wrong or that they're being ineffective communicators. And I certainly was terrible at it for such a long time, but I'm trying to turn that around and get comfortable with them being mad at me.
Yeah. And you know, no one wants anyone to be mad at them. And especially especially when it's your kid. And
yes,
I can remember, you know, some like epic fights with my mom that I'm surprised she didn't lock me in a closet till I turned 40.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. We had some pretty great ones too. Some pretty epic fights, me and my mom.
Yeah. And you know, I laugh because my niece, she's 26. Yeah, she's 26. And I never heard her yell at her mother until she was like 25. I was like,
oh really?
I was like, oh my God. I'm like, what's happening right now? And so, of course, you know, my sister-in-law is like, are you enabling this behavior? I was like, no, I'm just in shock right now. Like, I didn't think she ever yelled at you.
Yes. My mom and I, you know, it all ended right around, I guess it was my mid-20s. It was sometime after my kids got a little bit older, which is kind of funny. But we definitely had some, we butted heads more than anyone. And it was epic. So I always find myself really trying to avoid that feeling with my girls. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, I always say, I still yell at my mother till this day. I go, but it's usually for her being stupid, it's stupid stuff. Like, caught in this whole self-quarantine. And she's like, well, I got to go to BJ's. For what? There's just the two of you. What do you need at BJ's? I'm like, if I came to your house right now, I could probably live for 2 months out of your freezer.
I know, right? it's a really weird reversal of roles happening right now with the quarantine. The parents are not wanting to stay home and the kids are like, you need to stay home.
Oh, completely. And I'm just like, I'm on lockdown. I was like, unless your name is on the mortgage, you don't belong here.
Yeah. I'm also fighting with my teenagers because they don't understand social distancing and their brains are not even developed enough to understand, anything further than themselves and their own world and what affects them. So
exactly. And I can only imagine being a teenage girl right now and be like, I got all these people are together and I'm not there. It's horrible. You don't even understand. You're the worst mom in the world. Like everyone else's parents let me do it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We've already had that. And that gets thrown out at me so much that I started collecting the other parents' phone numbers so that I, oh really? Let me just text her mom and ask her if that's what she said. And you know what? 99% of the time, it's not true.
Right. You're like, hey, Susan, are they all going to your house in your home? Oh,
you're in Barbados?
Right. Yeah. You're in Barbados right now? Okay.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. I learned my lesson.
Well, I mean, when we grew up, it was very hard to track our movements.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I've got technology on my side now and I use it. My kids are like, I know exactly where they are at all hours, as long as they have their phone. And lucky for me, they are addicted to their phones and would not go anywhere without them. So
yeah, I find it so funny because it's like, we could disappear for hours on end.
And our parents would never know where we were.
No, not at all. Not
calling random, like they would just start calling people's houses and like hope that they were there, like get context clues from our friends. But
we
could disappear.
Or you can make up random numbers and like, they wouldn't be able to like, they wouldn't call it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, some days.
I know. I was like, that's why I don't have kids. Cause I was like, oh, my kid's going to be like me.
I know. That's definitely, I feel pretty paranoid a lot of the time. And one of my daughters did turn out to be just like me, which is so fun.
Yeah.
But I'm like calling my mom every day, like, I'm sorry, mom. It was terrible to you.
Oh my God. I totally would apologize to her. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry that all the time I snuck out of the house.
Yes, exactly. Yep. I'm getting it. I'm getting it all back.
So this has been really awesome. And, I love all the little takeaways that you had, that it was just like, self-care is leaning into your feelings and owning what that feeling is. And, Brené Brown talks about name it, if it's mad, it's sad, it's whatever, name it, get it out. And guess what? Like goblins aren't going to come down to scoop you up because, you're pissed right now that you're a mom. Like it's okay to have that feeling because it's going to pass.
Right. Yeah, I talk to them a lot about not judging their feelings. It's because it is like a lot of us are, and I think this is another, construct of our generation. Our parents kind of swept all our feelings under the rug. And so we never learned how to deal with the hard ones. And learning that it's okay to feel like I hate motherhood today, or, I hate being a mom today, or this is too hard, I can't handle it. Like, it's okay to have those feelings. And they don't have to be right or wrong. They're just there and they exist and they need to be acknowledged so that you can move through it. And I think that that's one of the harder aspects of self-care is learning how to deal with our emotions, because that's a fairly new concept, at least for me it was. But I think it was kind of a generational thing for us.
Yeah. Cause back in the day we rubbed some dirt in it and we moved on.
Exactly. Yeah. We were allowed to be happy. We were allowed to be happy. We were allowed to be pleasant, but we were not allowed to, I know that my mom meant well, but there was definitely a lot of like wanting to, just fix it so that it would go away. My hard feelings and my difficult feelings. I'm a pretty emotional person, so I'm a lot to deal with when it comes to emotions, I'm sure. But, you know, there was a lot of like fixing going on instead of just acknowledging. And so that's something that I have to work with my clients a lot on, because I think a lot of them had a similar experience where they don't think they should feel this way. And it's turning into like food addiction or, you know, that kind of thing where they're numbing those feelings that they're uncomfortable with, and just learning to be comfortable with feelings. And my favorite metaphor is like, I have down days for sure. I had a down morning today, and I just think of it like, it's like a thunderstorm. You know that it's going to end. It might be a really long thunderstorm. It might even last a week, but you know, there's always going to be an end, and you just got to ride it out and just feel it and experience it, and know that the end is inevitable and in sight.
Yeah. And that's, I love, that's the perfect way to describe it. It's a storm, right? You know, it's like, unfortunately, you know, we don't have technology to predict when the storm's going to come.
Right.
Or exactly. How long it's going to last. But yeah. it's like, if you think about like a snowstorm, you know, snowstorm, we know roughly a couple of days ahead of time, we know it's going to last 2-3 days, and then the roads are going to clear. So if you kind of go into it with that mentality that, you know, it might be a rough couple of days, but eventually the sun's going to come back out. The roads are going to be plowed, and it's you're going to move on. And anything, you learn something from it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and exactly.
You also
can have some like coping skills to get through it and to kind of to deal with those feelings. But yeah, it's always over.
Right. And if like you said earlier, you're like, I had a wall kicking moment this morning, and you're like, I went in the shower and I cried. And maybe that is the coping mechanism. Like, you go in the shower and you cry. You turn to your partner and you say, hey, I need 20 minutes. And you walk out of the house and you take a lap around the block.
Yes. And that happens. And I mean, I didn't ask for exactly that, but I did turn to my partner today and say, I need help. I'm not managing. I'm not being productive, and I need to hand this off to you now. Which we've had to learn how to communicate that in a productive way to each other so that it doesn't come across negatively. But, you know, just texting him this morning and saying, I am losing it. I have drained all of my willpower. It's gone. It's only 10 a.m. and it's gone. And so I need to tag out. Can you please come help me? And coming at it that from that direction or whatever. And I do see crying now as like sometimes when I feel myself, when I feel it in my chest and I feel myself feeling emotional about it, I used to fight that feeling and try to distract myself from it. Now I'm like, I see it as the processing. I see it as the tool. If I need to cry, then I need to cry. And the more I put it off, the more it's going to build up somewhere. It just doesn't, that's the thing, is like, it doesn't go away. You can't just fix it. There's no such thing. We can reframe and we can think positively all we want, but, and that is either reframing, that's definitely valid, but also crying and just letting yourself get through that, is a release that many times we just need. And I've been using that a lot. I was just telling some of my other mom friends, like every other day here lately, it's like one day I'll be during this self-quarantine and this transition into homeschooling. One day I'm like, I got this. No problem. Yeah. You know, no big deal. And then the next day it's like crying. So it's like every other day I need something. But, I think it's such a valid tool that we take for granted. It's our body literally releasing stress. So use it.
Yeah. And even if you have to like, you know, lock yourself in a closet and scream, like it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to just, you know, have a bad day or have a couple bad days, because you want to let your kids know, like you can show that you have a bad day too.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I think that's something that I missed out on and something I really want to do for my kids is to show them how to regulate their emotions and like handle it and feel okay with feeling good and feel okay with feeling bad and just understanding how human beings work and like get rid of that self-judgment that I think so many of us have adopted.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been like, I always say, I'm like, this is going to be a great talk. And then I'm like, oh my God, it exceeded my expectations.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Cause it's like, I knew, you know, I knew the stuff you work with your clients on isn't, you know, oh, you know, take a bubble bath or, you know, it's like, it's real stuff. Like, it's like real life shit that like, you have to move through if you're going to not be that like resentful mom. And, you know, you don't want to be the, like, you smile on the inside, but on the inside, like, you are just like this volcano about to erupt.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, I screwed it all up so that you don't have to. That's my like mantra. I did it wrong for 10 years so that you, so I am here now to tell you that there is a better way. Cause I did do it. And by the time my fourth child came along, I had figured all these things out, and it was just such an epic difference in my experience of what motherhood was like. And it's like, I want to shout it from the rooftops. Like, nobody has to live that way, the way that I used to live. They can, you know, there's a better way to be a mom, and you can claim that right now. You don't have to wait for anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's, you know, there's no one's going to come and anoint you like best mom,
right.
Like, you know, it's not the Girl Scouts. Like, you're not going to get a merit badge if, like, you know, you bake every time, you know, your kid has a bake sale. Like, it's okay to go to the grocery store and buy that.
Oh my God. Yeah. Somebody just said that one of my friends just told me the other day, like, there is no quarantine homeschooling medal. Like, she was trying to calm me down because I was freaking out. She was like, there's no medal at the end of all this that says you were the best homeschool mom. And I was like, oh my God, thank you for putting that in that perspective for me.
Because
that's what I tell people all the time. There's no like winning at this. This is just an experience that we're supposed to learn from. And we just get better as we, and, you know, learn as we go.
Right. And, you know, a good friend of mine, like, she just had her first child, and she's like, I never touched a baby until I had one. And she's like, I'm leaving the hospital. And she's like, oh my God, they're going to totally be like, you should not have this baby. Like, your kids don't come with an instruction manual. Motherhood doesn't come with an instruction manual. You have, you know, all these people who, like, maybe they have more time on their hands. Maybe they only have one kid. Maybe their kid doesn't have special needs, but it's like, you have to do you, you know, maybe you're doing it by yourself. And so you're relying on the kindness of strangers to, like, help you tap out when you need to tap out. So, you know, it's like, I always say, you know, where are you? Just, you know, check in. What, you know, what resources do you have? Cause, like, if you can, like, send your kid on a play date, so it gives you 30 minutes to go to the grocery store by yourself, that's self-care. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. It is. I mean, it's always like thinking about that. It's creativity. It's for sure. I call it an art form. Self-care is an art form. It's always just finding the creative ways to do things just a little bit more efficiently in a little bit better way for you that makes you feel better. And just, you know, prioritizing yourself and doing, like, saying it's okay and giving yourself grace through the entire process.
Yeah, I absolutely have loved all of the pieces of this conversation. So, Deanna, I ask all of my guests, what is, if you could have one magical power, what would that be?
Oh my God. Okay. I think it would be, I would love to be psychic.
And I
like am really into that, all that kind of like really super woo woo stuff. And totally believe in, you know, life beyond just us and all those kinds of things. I wish I could like tune into my psychic intuition, and that could be my superpower.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one. Yeah. I think that anyone who is, I'm like all the woo-woo stuff too. And anyone who, like, I'm like, just like so magnetized by psychics, like people who could be like, well, I'm like, I see that your angels are saying this. And I'm like, where are they? Where are they? Like, how are you seeing them? I'm like, are they sitting, are they sitting on the couch? Are they riding a bike? What are they doing?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what I don't know if like I could handle being like a medium where you're like talking, like bringing people in or not. That seems a little bit intense, but like, I don't know, some sort of like supernatural. I follow Joe Dispenza and I just love all of his work and loved the being supernatural, becoming supernatural book that he just put out, and would love to have some of those like experiences, those kind of magical experiences that he and his followers have. But just something like that. I wish I could kind of see beyond what's here. what we can just see with our eyes.
I know, that's pretty cool. Cause it's like, I know that there is more around, but it's just like those people who can just like see through it. I'm just like, wow, that's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah. I love it.
So where can people find you on the socials?
Okay. So, on Instagram, that's kind of my main hangout. It's at Deanna Schober. And, it's DEANNASCHOBER. And then my husband and I have a podcast also called the Fitness and Sushi Podcast. We, talk about like the relationship with food and, body image and, you know, doing healthy weight loss in that kind of way. So that's, probably my second favorite thing that I do. And then you can find everything else at elevatemoms.com.
Awesome. This has been just one. Thank you so much for taking the time. And this has just been so great.
I know. I loved it. I love talking to you.
Yeah. This has been awesome. So thank you so much. And you guys, like if you're a mom and you're feeling burnt out and you're just like feeling overwhelmed, or if you feel great and you're like, maybe I could feel even better, follow Deanna, because like she's just got, I love her because she's a simple stuff. And you know me, I like simple. I ain't got time for complicated, and neither do you. Yep. All right, Magic Makers, this has been a great show. And as always, like, subscribe, and review. Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic Podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.